Welcome back, Sub-Zero Sports, Season 4, Episode 15. Today, we are talking UFC 300, and it's freaking Masters Week. Let's get it. And we're back.
We're back.
Been a minute.
How long? Three weeks?
I think it's been 2 weeks, right?
Just two?
2 weeks off, so I guess that means like we're coming up on 3 weeks.
Did we ever do a March Madness podcast?
No. And we won't dive into it, but quick shout out, by the way. I think the fellow's name was Todd Slee. So shout out Todd Slee for picking the winner. All I'll say about that is we didn't do a podcast because that tournament sucked.
Yeah.
Again. It sucked last year, too. It
sucks every year.
It's starting to feel that way.
Not every year.
Maybe not every year, but lately.
I know I'm probably a little different. I mean, March Madness is fun to watch for the upsets and stuff. But, I mean, the national championship sucked because it's just 2-1 seeds. Like, you want to see some sort of Cinderella story there.
It's not even that. It's that the game wasn't even competitive. If those were the downright two best teams and they were in an all-time classic and we had somebody like Villanova, North Carolina.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Those were the two best teams. Somebody hit a buzzer beater. It was a crazy back and forth last minute. I could have not watched the entire Natty on Monday night.
I watched about the 5 minutes left in the first half and watched a halftime and didn't turn it back on.
Was the women's tournament this year better than the men's?
No.
No? I say it was.
I watched the women's basketball national championship and...
Let me just put it to you this way.
We should go quick on this because we're not even supposed to be talking March Madness.
For pure entertainment purposes, the women's tournament was better.
Caitlin Clark's undefeated
South Carolina being the best team. And Caitlin Clark is fun to watch. Paige Beckers and UConn are always in the mix. Gina Auriemma, whatever. But the men's tournament had no star power, had no fun, it had no competitive games. It was just a dominant run.
The last thing I'll say about it. In the national championship, Caitlin Clark, I guess, had that really hot start.
Right.
And I got the update, turned it on. That's when she started missing everything.
Yeah, she didn't score again in the second quarter.
I saw her hit one shot the entire rest of the game.
Yeah. So.
But congrats, you announced that guy. What was his name?
Congrats to, I think it was Todd Slee.
Okay. Well, congratulations.
Shout out to T. Slee.
$50. Did he go Amazon gift card?
Yeah, he went Amazon gift card.
Amazon gift card.
Practical man is Mr. Slee.
Congratulations. But on to the
fight
of the decade or card of the decade?
Ever.
Card ever all in time. UFC history?
No. All time fighting.
All time.
This is the greatest card in the history of any combat sport.
Did you see the stat that this one card has 11% of UFC champions in the history of the UFC?
That is crazy.
On the one card. It's got 12 former champions.
I was about to say, was it 12?
Yeah. So there must have been like 115-ish champions ever.
Did you see where... They're doing some really fun stuff for it, too. Like, the press conference is going to have every fighter.
The shorts. It's going to have every fighter?
Yeah, all 26.
They haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, all 26 fighters are going to be at the press conference.
Deserving so.
Agreed.
I was hoping that, because, I mean, like, you obviously want Kayla Harrison to be there. First time ever in the UFC. Like,
right.
A lot of questions for her.
Dude, not even that. Even if we just go to the very first fight of the night. Cody Garbrandt needs to be at the press conference.
Yeah.
He's fun to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Freaking banger after banger after banger. Like, you can't beat this card.
You can't.
You cannot beat this card. And so, Max is going to have his floral shorts, right?
Max is going to have his floral shorts. Pereira's going to have the Poetan shorts.
Those are dope.
Did you see, there's four fighters.
Who else has them?
Justin Gaethje is also getting a pair.
I saw his.
His were like American edition, pretty much. And then, I think it might have been Zhang Weili.
Yeah.
She got a pair, too.
Yeah, some, like, Chinese shorts or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, I guess that all started with Sugar Sean just last month.
No. It started with
Bryce Mitchell.
Yeah, Bryce Mitchell. Yeah, the camo shorts. Yeah.
But it really took off since Sugar Sean, the champion, got it.
I think this will go right back to, like, rarely happening right after this.
I think it's just UFC 300.
Yeah.
It's going to stay with Sugar, though. He'll keep the pink, probably.
Yeah, probably so.
Because he's got that star power.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like if you have the star power, then
I think maybe it'll be a champion thing. Like if the champion wants something, they get it.
I'd be cool with that.
Poetan wants to keep those shorts, and
I don't see an issue with it.
I don't either.
What's wrong with it?
Yeah, it's customized. I mean, it still has the Venom on there, the UFC logo. You can see all that.
Yeah,
there's no sponsors on the shorts anymore, so put any design you want.
Right.
But yeah, so let's get into it.
Let's do it. Let's start. We were just talking about before we started doing this, do we roll through every freaking fight right now?
Yeah, I think you got to.
And it feels like you have to.
There's only like two or three that it's like, I don't care that much to talk about it, but they're still good names.
And the thing is like, I guess I don't care that much to talk about them in comparison. But if this was a regular main event and they were like the third or fourth fight, I'd probably talk about it.
I think every single fight on this card could probably at least headline a fight night.
100%.
And you got to think the worst, like Andrade could probably, Andrade, had, she's done it before.
She's done it many times. Night.
And then you got Diego Lopez and Sadiq Youssef.
Easily could.
Could.
Winner will be a ranked featherweight.
And then maybe Bo Nickel, Brundage probably wouldn't. Bo Nickel, yes, but Brundage, no.
Yeah, it's only because it's Bo Nickel, but yeah. Those odds are insane, minus but we'll get there.
$2,500. Jesus.
All right, first fight of the night. And it's awesome.
Figueroa, second fight at 135.
Right.
Against former 135 champion Cody No Love Garbrandt.
I actually think these odds are a bit skewed.
You think it should be closer?
I think it should be closer. I think Figgy's going to win.
I think Figgy's going to win as well. And they do have a common opponent in Rob Font.
Correct.
Figgy kind of handled him pretty easily, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He clearly won that fight in his 35 debut. But I don't know. I think Cody has maybe gained some confidence back from that little slide that he went through.
I think Cody always has the chance to knock someone out. That's for sure. But how much is his chin actually there?
That's true, but Figueiredo doesn't have a ton of power. And he's a true flyweight.
But he was cutting a lot of weight to get to 125.
Yeah, but I just don't think... I mean, look at the size of them. Figueiredo is 5'5".
Yeah.
He's tiny.
Yeah.
He's a true... He was cutting weight based off what he was walking around at. But like typical stature of a 125er, he was like perfect for it.
Yeah.
I just think Cody, when you see him in there Saturday night, I think you're going to be like, whoa, Cody's way bigger.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so he's got back-to-back dubs. T. Jones, I was at that fight in Vegas in March.
It was an awful fight.
Very bad fight, but he got a knockout in December. So he's back on the knockout train.
Well, let's not forget, we haven't seen Figueiredo fight anyone other than Brandon Moreno except in his last fight since like 2019.
Yep.
I don't know if that's exactly... I'll pull it up real quick. Okay, so his last fight other than Moreno was November of 2020.
Yes.
So not quite 2019, but November of 20. And since then, he fought Brandon Moreno four straight times over the course of 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And then late 2023 last year, he fights Rob Font and he wins a decision. So I don't know. I think the odds are just a bit much. Yeah. I think Figgy will win the fight. I think he's going to win a decision.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Figgy here. We do have 13 to go through here.
So we don't need to do a deep dive analysis on every fight.
Maybe
that's couple, hard, dude.
Towards the end.
It's so hard. You just start talking about him and you're like, all right.
Bobby King Green versus Jim fucking Miller.
Dude, did you
see... First question, will Buffer announce him like that?
They already said no, he can't because it's the ESPN pay-per-view. So he's not even allowed. I saw something that said he'd be like heavily fined if he did it.
Really?
Yeah.
What if Daniel's like, screw it, I'll pay it?
So the thing I saw was an interview from Buffer himself, and he's like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
But I saw something on Twitter, like a random fan suggestion, and this is what should happen.
Okay.
He should be doing the announcement, and he says, Jim, and takes a big pause and lets the crowd drop the F-bomb.
Smart.
Like all in one, like unison. And then he dropped, and then Buffer goes Miller.
I don't know if he'll do it. That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool. When I heard that idea, I was like, perfect.
So
he's also an underdog, and I think he's going
to
win.
Only fighter to fight on UFC 100, 200, and now on 300. Hopefully makes weight. Hopefully nothing happens because he deserves to be on this card.
He will. He will be in the cage.
I just hope nothing happens with Bobby Green or Jim Miller. Hopefully this fight happens.
That's my only concern about this entire night. Is please God let everyone get on the scale, make weight, and let's show up to fight.
But that's impressive. He's been around since 2008, I believe. So going on 16 years.
Absurd.
Before we get into the fight, real quick, does Jim Miller deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
100%.
Just based off longevity.
Wins as well.
Basically. Yeah, he's, no, got,
he's
the
like
most
got the
wins
most UFC yet.
He's got like 42 fights and 26 wins.
Yeah.
So 26 and what's 16? That? 16?
Yeah, he deserves to be in there.
No?
He's beaten some really big names. Like, he beat Cowboy not that long ago.
Yeah. So, you see Miller winning this? Bobby Green's coming off a bad loss to
You know
to
what?
Jaylen
I'm
going to
say it. I'm going to go this route. I think Bobby Green's chin is gone.
It might be, especially with the amount of times that Jaylen Turner hit him after he was knocked out.
Well, he also got absolutely one punch starched by Drew Dober.
Yep.
And he got ground and pounded, but not near as bad as with Turner, by Islam.
Dober hits hard, though.
Yeah, he does.
He's, like, probably the biggest lightweight there is.
Well, I saw Jim Miller have a very similar knockout in one of his most recent fights. Jim Miller, let's not forget, Jim Miller has won 4 of his last 5,
uh-huh.
And they've all been finishes. 2 subs, 2 knockouts.
I was going to say, I don't hate a Jim Miller sub here.
I think Jim Miller wins this fight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go by knockout.
I like Jim. All right, Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. I think Andrade is going to win this pretty easily.
Really?
Yeah.
It's almost a pick 'em.
I know. I feel like Andrade is about to just start her. She's fought everyone.
She has fought everyone. Her record's not glamorous because of that.
Yeah, but she's fought the killers of the killers.
And she bounces around multiple divisions.
Yeah, from 115 to
125. I think she'll win the fight. I don't know if she's going to start this
girl,
though.
I think she's going to knock her out.
I mean, this girl's 17-3.
I think every single fight
Rodriguez
gonna
is... No. The very first
UFC
one.
UFC is like WWE, you know. They just plan it out.
Don't even say that. I'll go on Andrade, though.
Jaylen Turner.
Worst fight of the night, by the way.
Yes. Still a good one.
It is.
For this to be the worst fight, banger.
It's incredible.
Yep. Jaylen Turner minus 245 against Renato Moicano. I don't know if I said the first name right, but I think
yeah,
it is Moicano.
I think you nailed it.
Moicano plus 200. He's a good fighter.
I'm taking him.
You're taking him to win.
I'm taking him to win.
I'm not going to pick against Jaylen Turner. I feel like Jaylen Turner is becoming the gatekeeper.
Jaylen Turner is a bust.
A bust?
Yeah.
I disagree with that.
How?
How old is he?
He's 28, so I guess that's premature.
He's got a lot of time.
He's got a lot of time, but he has lost a lot to be the up-and-comer that they thought he would be. He's already 14-7.
To Dan Hooker, split decision.
That's a bad loss. He should have won that fight.
Gamrot.
He was as much of a favorite against Dan Hooker as he will be against McConnell.
Gamrot, split decision. Decision, Matt Frivola in 2019.
No awful loss.
Knocked out by Vicente Luque in 2018.
That's a pretty good loss.
At that time.
Vicente was killing everybody.
And before that, his fights.
A bunch of people
UFC.
You've never heard of, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, his only losses have been to killers.
I just
say the worst is Frivola.
I'll tell you this. To me, if he doesn't knock you out, he's not going to beat you.
He doesn't have a ground game at all. It's pretty easy to take him down.
Well, I mean, no. He's 4-0 in submission fights in his UFC career.
Yeah, but, I mean, he looked like the Gamrot fight. Gamrot just took him down a bunch.
I don't think Moicano's going to do that. The reason I'm picking Moicano is because I think these guys are going to stand and bang for 15 minutes, and I like Moicano's chin.
I think that's a bad idea to try to bang with Turner, though. Just with his length and range.
Has Moicano ever been finished?
I don't think he's ever even knocked anyone out.
He has.
Moicano's never even knocked someone out.
Yeah, I'm not picking him to win by knockout.
You're just picking him to win.
By decision.
So he's never.
These are the people that have knocked him out. Fazeev.
Knocked out Moicano?
Yes. And Korean Zombie and Jose Aldo.
Terrible names.
Those are pretty great. So, I'm going to go. If you're going to give me plus 200 on a guy like Renato Moicano, I think Moicano is closer to kicking the door in and being a star than Jaylen Turner is.
I'd agree with that, but he's also in the later half of his career. What's he, 36?
He's 34.
34. So he's
getting older.
He's
there. He wins this fight. I'll stand by that.
I think the value's in Moicano. I like him.
I'll tell you what I'm not going to do is bet on a minus 245 Jaylen Turner.
Yeah. I like the odds being Moicano plus 150, Turner minus 195, 200. I think that's more fair. So I think the value's in Moicano, but Turner's going to win this.
Okay.
Diego Lopez minus 140, Sadiq Yusuf plus 120.
Diego Lopez, easy.
Only time I've watched Sadiq, he blew a fight against Barboza, so I don't like the guy because I think I bet on him on that fight. Diego's very fun to watch. He's an exciting kid, up-and-comer. Trains with the champion, Alexa Grasso, I believe. I like Diego. He seems like a star ready to blossom into a star.
I think outside of Bo Nickel, this will be your most lopsided fight of the night.
At minus 140.
Mm-hmm. he's gonna finish Sadiq Yusuf. That's a guarantee.
Really?
Yep.
I like it.
I feel confident about that.
Diego's, has he been finishing like every single fight?
Oh, he's been finishing a lot of fights lately.
KO, sub, decision to Evloev. That's when he came in on short notice.
And it was a very close fight.
Yep. So he's only had, this is his fourth fight in the UFC.
And he's just burst on the scene.
He came on last second against Evloev at 145.
Yep.
And then he subbed G Tucker and KO'd Pat Sabatini.
Correct.
So he's on the come up. Yeah, I like Lopez here. Holly Holm, plus 325. Kayla Harrison making her UFC debut.
I lied.
Minus 450.
I lied about one thing.
Lopsided?
This will be more lopsided.
You think Kayla's just going to lopside her?
Or I just don't see Holly Holm being able to get off her back.
We're gonna find out quick, I think. I don't think Kayla's going to be able to stand with her at all.
I don't think she's going to.
But she should be able to take her to the ground. But we saw her in one of her last fights in PFL. If she can't get you to the ground, she's screwed.
Agreed.
If Holly Holm has any kind of takedown defense at all.
She doesn't, though.
She's in trouble.
When's the last time we saw Holly Holm really beat a wrestler?
Never.
I mean, she's 42 years old. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
She's 40 freaking two. She's still Holly Holm. She's 15-6. She has one of the greatest UFC wins of all time.
Yep, knocking out Ronda.
That is an all-time win. But this is not going to be her night.
Kayla should just wrestle her for three rounds, I would think.
This is a horrible matchup for Holly Holm.
Yeah. But big name fight.
Yeah, it's great. Well, they did it on purpose. I mean, she's 42 years old. She's on her way out. She's a big name, though. If Harrison can come in and immediately get a win, then boom, you just establish yourself at women's bantamweight.
Okay, she's 33.
Yeah,
she's young. I thought she was like 37.
No.
Wow. She looks like she's 44.
Agreed. And I just think this will be the first time we ever even have seen her at 35. So if she loses, she's going to get knocked out because her chin's going to be so weak at that weight.
Holly loses this. Time to hang it up. I mean, she's 42. She's still winning.
I don't know. This is an elite.
In the bantamweight division, in the women's bantamweight division is not great by any means.
No, it's not.
Especially with Amanda gone. You got Pena, Kayla Harrison now, and Holly, and name another one. We probably can't.
Of the 35ers?
Raquel Pennington and Bueno Silva, because they just fought for the title.
Right.
Other than that, I probably couldn't name you one.
No, probably not. That Mexican girl that fought Nunez and got pieced up.
Oh, yeah.
Aldana.
Irene
Aldana. She's also very
old. She's a good boxer.
She's also old, though.
Yeah.
Caitlin Vieira. Did we say her?
Nope.
She's kind of on the come up.
Yep.
But regardless, it's a terrible division.
We're both going Kayla here?
Yeah, and probably easily.
Aljamain Sterling making his featherweight debut, former bantamweight champ, minus 170 against Calvin Kattar at plus 140.
I'm torn.
I like Kattar. If Sterling can't get him to the ground, Kattar's going to piece him up on the feet.
I think he can get him to the ground, though.
And I just...
I think he'll get him to the ground, but will he consistently get him to the ground?
I know. And will he be able to backpack like he did in the bantamweight division? I mean, it's an extra 10 pounds. I mean, I think Sterling, the weight shouldn't be an issue. He was always a really big 135er.
Look what he did to Sanhagen, though. He has a similar like fighting style.
Yeah.
Sanhagen's a way better striker.
It's also extra weight.
I'll go Sterling. I'll be pulling against him, though.
I'm going to go Kattar.
I don't like Aljamain, so I'm pulling against him. I hope Kattar wins, but I'm going to go Sterling by submission here.
Give me Kattar by decision. Yuri Prohaska, former light heavyweight champion, plus 100 underdog, barely, versus Alexander Rakic, who I don't think has fought since he tore something against Jan? Yep.
Oh, yeah, Rakic.
Hasn't fought in almost 2 years.
Very injury-riddled guys, really.
Rakic hasn't fought since May 14th, 2022. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Here's Yuri Prohaska,
your former champion who could easily be the current champion.
Yeah. Do you know why he's a dog?
Rakic is very good.
He is, but so is Yuri.
I just know at the time that Rakic was injured, he was supposed to be the next big thing.
Yes.
And he was getting that opportunity by fighting Jan.
Honestly, one I'm probably definitely going to stay away from because I'm saying I'm staying away from it because he hasn't fought in 2 years.
So I'm saying you like to think
Russ whatnot, but he's still been training for the past 2 years.
This could easily be
so much better than last time we saw him.
This is what I'm saying. You're not allowed to do that on this night.
On this night, because it's UFC 300.
On UFC 300, we bet every fight.
Do we?
Yes.
Can I bet your money?
No.
Ooh.
We bet every fight.
Ooh.
It's mandatory. I don't make the rules. I just do it.
I got a dollar on Prohaska.
I don't like that.
You going Rakic?
Mm.
I can't bet Rakic.
I think I'm
going to
go Jiří.
I'm
going to go Jiří. Jiří is just so unique and has a crazy fighting style. And I think if it wasn't for the power of Poatan, then Jiří would be your champion right now.
Yeah.
So I'll stick with Jiří here.
One big
would
complaint.
Not be surprised one bit.
One very big complaint that I have with this fight and the next fight. These should be flip flop. Bo Nickel
I'm not
should
even
not
sure.
be on the main card.
I'm not even sure Bo Nickel shouldn't be like match 9.
I know. I mean, yeah, he's an up and comer, but get him off there against Cody Brundage. Get him off the main card.
Yeah. It's
you're going to put just a former light heavyweight champion as the main prelim.
I mean, look at just if you just roll down the list, Jiří,
so
former champion. Aljo, former champion, considered some by some the greatest 35 champion of all time right now. Holly Holm, former champion with one of the greatest knockouts of all time. Kayla Harrison, just as big of a name right now, in my opinion, as Bo Nickel.
I think, honestly, it should everyone above Yusuf and Lopez should move up, and Bo Nickel, Brundage should be match 8.
That would be much more fitting.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they did that. What am I missing? I know it's Bo Nickel.
I think there's something Bo Nickel's like, I'm fighting on pay-per-view main events, like main cards. I'm not a prelim guy. And that was a huge deal with him. Remember his very first one? He was like, I'm not fighting prelim. You're putting me on the main card.
I remember all that, but bro, then in my opinion, leave him off the freaking card.
Yeah, right.
If that's how you're going to act. This is UFC 300, dude. This isn't like UFC 298 in Boston.
Yeah.
Like, this is the card, dude. And I think that's my biggest complaint. I only have two or three complaints about the way the entire thing is assembled. Out of 13 fights, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. That is my biggest complaint about it.
Any chance Brundage wins this?
No, not even. No? Zero.
Any chance it goes past a minute and a half?
Yeah. But
any
not.
Any chance it goes past first round?
No.
Done in the first, no matter what?
Yes. And I think because of the recent knockout from Nickel, people are kind of underestimating. They're kind of. I see a lot of people betting on that and throwing out that prop again. I don't like that. He's not a knockout artist.
No, wrestling.
And that's Brundage's only chance. So he's going to take him down and submit him.
That's what's good about him, though. His wrestling is so good that that's
that
all
you
the
leave
opponent
your chin
worries.
In the air,
that's all the opponent worries
down.
About.
Yeah,
like, he's
that's
about
what I'm
to
saying.
Take me down, and he knocked me out.
Yep.
So yeah, Bo Nickel first round finish. Probably that's probably still a -300 bet. He's -2500 to Brundage +1000. That's kind of messed up. The fact he's -2500
feeding him to the wolves.
No, but he's -2500 and the dog is +1000. You can't give us +1750 at least.
You know, but you
Come
know
on.
They can't do that.
That's a $1500 difference.
I'm very aware. That's the whole reason behind it.
All right, match 4, former champion Charles Oliveira versus up-and-comer Arman Tsarukyan. Tsarukyan -225.
I'm just going to say this. This is the one fight, in my opinion, that I think the odds makers just missed.
I
think they missed this.
How is Oliveira +185?
The champ has a name.
The champ has a name.
And his name is Charles Oliveira.
Dude, that's dope. That's cold.
It is.
That's icy.
It is. And I am ride or die with DuBronx.
I am too. He's one of my favorite fighters.
I agreed.
I wish he spoke English.
Yeah, that would help a lot.
It almost makes it like more mysterious that he doesn't, you know?
Yeah, I feel the same way about Poatan.
Yeah.
Sure. He's so scary and cool, but I'm
it makes him more scary that he doesn't speak English.
Right. Did you see the thing with him and Jamal Hill? I posted on our story. They like ran into each other and they were being so nice. And Jamal Hill was like, he walked up to him and he was like, hey, man, like, respect, just want to connect everything. And Poatan just went, Chama. And Jamal Hill was like, Chama? He said, what does Chama mean? Poatan said, let's go. I was like, oh, that's so terrifying, dude.
Dude, I saw a comment. I was watching the Embedded, episode 3, and the top comment was, Poatan's personality looks like he just woke up from a 20-year coma.
It's so true. It's so true.
I don't bet against Oliveira unless he's fighting a guy named Islam Makhachev.
And I got to be honest, if they fight again right now, I'm betting on DuBronx.
Yeah, he was getting up. I bet on him against Islam last time, but he was also like +300.
Yeah.
It would be different this time. I'm taking Oliveira. I hope he destroys him. And for some reason, no one likes Tsarukyan.
Oh, you want me to tell you why?
Why?
Because we're fight fans, and he's boring.
Yeah?
He's so boring.
Charles is not.
Arman, what's going to happen is, bell's going to ring. These guys are going to square up. Charles is going to put the freaking pressure on. like he always does. Mm-hmm. Kill or be killed is that man's mentality, which is why you love him as a fight fam.
Yep.
And Armon is going to take his head and dive straight for his crotch.
Yep.
And he's going to try and take him down.
Yep.
And everyone's going to boo.
Yep.
And if Charles can prevent that from happening and being on his back, even though he's dangerous on the back, if he can stay off his back, Armon has no chance to win.
I was about to say, how much is Charles just going to let him get to guard so he can just pull guard and try to submit him?
I hope not, because that's how Armon will win, because Armon is very good defensively on top.
Yep.
That's where he's at his best. So,
you going Charles here?
100% going Charles. I'm going to go submission, and he extends that record.
Nice. Give me KO.
I love it. He hits hard. I hope so.
Gaethje said as hard as he ever been hit.
I know.
Speaking of him.
And I've never seen Gaethje drop like that before.
We got a blessed highlight coming at you here.
Hey, okay.
That's what Max has been saying.
I'm good with that.
Y'all gonna see it's cheesy, but I'm good. He said, y'all going to see a blessed highlight right here.
This has the potential to be the best UFC fight of all time.
I hope so. And I love both guys. Now, this is one of those fights where you're like, why does someone have to lose?
We're going to, yeah, for sure. We're going to disagree here. Lose?
Are you going Holloway?
Yeah, I think he's going to win. I really do. I think Max is going to win the fight.
That's ballsy.
I just think Gaethje doesn't beat people. And that's not true. He's won a few decisions. But his main thing is he's going to knock you out. That's his thing. That's Gaethje's thing. And
used to be. Not much anymore.
How not? He just won by a head kick knockout.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was going to win that fight.
What about before that?
That's what I'm saying. He's won a couple by decision. Fazeev was a majority decision.
Michael Chandler.
And then is that it?
But that's
it. You could say the only two.
Fazeev, he got a bad start, lost round one, and then came back round two and three. Poirier, you probably lean Poirier round one.
But let's not say that that's knocking people out is still not his thing.
Holloway's also moving up a weight class here.
Yes.
I think this is Justin pretty easy.
Easy. You think he finishes him?
No. I mean, I just think it's an easy decision to go Justin. I think Max is a bold take.
I don't think so. I think when you get into wars, I think this has the potential to be a war. Max is a better boxer.
Who do you want to see win more?
Max.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know why. I love Max. I think Max is a top three favorite fighter of all time for me.
I like both of them, and I don't know which one I like more.
Because I really liked Justin Gaethje, but I just love Max Holloway.
I always liked Volk more than Holloway. But I liked Holloway a lot more, too.
For me, you guys were always like Volk 100% when they fought, and I was like so torn.
Yeah.
Because I really love Max Holloway.
But I think Volk's grown on you as well since 100%, he became champion.
100%. I also didn't think he really beat Max when he first got the title, so it was hard for me to jump right on board.
This is the BMF fight, too. It's like you want to see a finish, but you love both guys so much you don't want to see either one
finish.
Isn't
this a five-round fight?
Yep.
I think this will be I'm going to go 25-minute war and give me a split decision of Max Holloway 48-47.
I think being a BMF fight, it's not allowed to go to decision. I think one of them's getting finished.
That doesn't have nothing to do with it. This is just a fake belt.
It doesn't matter. It still means something. You're still getting a belt. Nothing. You're getting a belt.
Yeah, but it means nothing.
Give me Justin Gaethje. TKO.
First so you do ever. Think he's going to finish him?
Yeah.
I think if he doesn't finish Max in like the first two rounds like he did Dustin, then he won't finish him.
I think someone's getting finished. And I'm leaning Justin, but I could see Max knocking him out too.
I really don't know if I can
see
that.
I just hope someone gets knocked out. It's a BMF fight.
I'm just saying.
As much as I don't want to see it, I want to see it.
It's good logic in the way that Gaethje only has two decisions since 2014. Nice. Win or lose, he's only had two. Fazeev now, yes, they were two out of his last four fights, but yes, Fazeev and Chandler. One of those was a majority decision against Fazeev and then the unanimous against Chandler. Now, Max, on the other hand, is much more known to fight two decisions.
Yes.
He's also coming off a knockout over Korean Zombie.
Yes.
That was nasty.
Yes, but Koreans.
That was the most. He would have floored a lot of people with that shot.
Yeah.
That was a clean knockout. But yes, it was four straight unanimous decisions before that. And then you get into the splits and all that. But three of those are Volk.
Yep.
So.
All right, match co-main. Zhang Weili versus Yan Xianan. Zhang minus 550.
I was wrong again. I keep going back to that comment I made about being lopsided. This will be lopsided.
More than Kayla Harrison and Holly Holm?
Mm,
I don't think so.
Nope, this one will be less lopsided than that.
I'm going Zhang.
Yes. Whaley will dominate this fight.
Leave it at that.
Yep.
Main event.
Don't care, by the way. Main event. I don't really care.
Alex Poatan Pajera versus Jamal Sweet Dreams Hill.
Me and you envisioned this matchup like a year ago.
We did.
And we're split on it. And
I know said Jamal, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Are you sticking with that?
I'm sticking with it. I think this is going to be an absolute banger fight.
Someone, you talked about the BMF, like there has to be a knockout.
This is it.
There has to be a knockout in this. Combined
in their UFC careers, which I know Poatan hasn't been that long, but they only have one takedown combined.
Oh, no one's going to shoot.
Jamal's has zero. Pereira got one against Izzy.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Yeah, neither of these guys will be shooting. Nope. I think the best thing for Jamal Hill is if this becomes a firefight, because I like Jamal Hill's chin better. I think if Poatan plays smart and he kickboxes, he'll dominate.
And I think we're really going to see how good Jamal Hill actually is. He obviously looked really good against Glover in January of 2023, but we haven't seen him since then. He tore his Achilles in July.
That's a big injury.
In July.
And you know.
That's 9 months ago.
And you know that Poatan is going to kick the hell out of his legs.
Yep. But in his defense with that Achilles, had the same doctor Aaron Rodgers had as well.
True.
So, have that going for him. Rodgers almost came back in about 2 months.
Yeah. No.
Jamal Hill at plus 110, Pereira minus 130. I know we talked about it before. We wanted the UFC 300 main event, like a McGregor, some crazy name, John Jones. But straight up, MMA fight.
It's a great fight.
You can't get better than this.
It's a fantastic
fight. This is a boxing,
kickboxing
match.
If Poatan wins, superstar.
He already is.
But this will, I think this has the potential to like really propel him.
Yep. This is going to be a really good fight. I mean, honestly, I think someone's going to sleep. I'm going to lean Jamal Hill. I don't love it. I'm just going to stick with my guns. I said it a year ago, but we're going to see how good he is, because we know how good of a kickboxer Pereira is, and this is not going to be any wrestling match at all.
You know what I'm thinking in my head right now? To me, Alex Pereira getting knocked out by Jamal Hill, to me, just thinking in my brain, rolling through scenarios, seems like the most likely scenario.
Really?
But I have picked against Alex Pereira like every time.
And he's gotten you every time.
And he's winning every time. And
he just
finds, UFC, when he first fought Strickland, and everyone was like, ooh, it's clearly Izzy next. I was like, Izzy's going to beat this guy.
No.
I know that kickboxing stuff, that was forever ago. Like, but way before that fight, I was like, Izzy's going to win this fight.
No.
And then he didn't. And then he was losing before he caught Poatan. And then Poatan moves to 205. Not a great performance against Jan, but he beats the former champion.
Did he win that fight?
I still say he did.
That was a questionable decision there.
I still stuck with yes, based off body language, which I know is a weird thing. But and then he knocks out Jiří, and I picked Jiří. So this time I'm going to switch. So if I jinx him, then I'm sorry.
Yep. I think the key is going to be Jamal being able to check those calf kicks, because he can take your legs away from you quick.
Yeah, and then your hands suddenly drop.
You saw that with Jiří.
Yep, and then your hands suddenly drop because you've been kicked in the legs 14 times in 60 seconds.
Yep.
And next thing you know, you're laying flat on your back.
Well, there's UFC 300.
It's going to be incredible.
I'm so excited. So excited. And we don't only have the best card of all time fighting MMA, UFC, any kind of fighting style card ever. We got Augusta this weekend.
We do. And it's going to be a very fun tournament, I think.
What do you want to see this weekend from the Masters? What are your top three things you want to see?
I want to see Tiger make a cut.
I want to see Tiger finish. This is what I want more than just making the cut. I want to see
play
Tiger
play four healthy rounds.
Either do that, make the cut, play four healthy rounds, don't withdraw. If you miss a cut, that's fine.
It's not fine. He's going for the cut record.
Don't withdraw. I just don't want to see a withdrawal.
I agree. Let's just not withdraw. And I don't think he will.
But,
Tiger just has a way of making you believe stuff that you don't even believe. Yeah. Like, he sat up there and had his press conference. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And they were like, what do you think, like, is a realistic expectation? And he was like, I think I can win. Yeah. If everything comes together, I can win. I was like,
Heard that, and I'm like, we are back.
We're back. I'm like, did I just bet on Tiger right now? Is the bet already in?
Plus 10,000 odds. Yeah. Did I just throw 1,000 on that?
Yeah. Dude, he's plus 20,000 last I saw.
Oh, my gosh.
So, one thing that I'll go that. I want to see Tiger make the cut 100%. Number two, I'll tell you what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a really good mix of LIV and PGA golfers in the top 10. I'd really like to see those two go to battle.
Last year, out of the top six golfers, four of them were LIV.
I know.
Brooks, Phil.
Was it DJ?
I don't think DJ was.
Oh, Rom. Rom won.
Rom won it.
But he wasn't on the LIV at the time.
He wasn't on LIV then.
So did that not
count? That, maybe they were counting him as LIV now.
Maybe. I thought DJ had a decent showing last year.
I can't remember. I know it was Phil and Brooks.
Oh, was it maybe Cam Smith?
I can't remember, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know either. But anyway, I'd like to see a good mix. I'd like to see those two kind of go to battle a little bit, you know?
Who?
The two tours.
Would you rather?
Like, let's get Rory. Let's get Scheffler. You know, let's get maybe Wyndham Clark. Let's get some of these top guys. Maybe your JT or a Spieth up there if they can play well for four rounds. And let's get freaking Brooks. Let's get Bryson. DJ. Let's get Bryson. Let's get John Rahm now.
It'd be crazy if we had the last three pairings be, say, the last pairing is Scotty versus Rahm.
That'd be insane.
The next one is Rory versus Brooks.
Yeah.
And then have, like, Bryson versus someone.
You know, speaking of Brooks, I think the PGA Tour is trying to take that man out.
How so?
It's not the PGA Tour. I mean, they don't run Augusta, but... Because did you see who he's paired with?
No.
He's paired with Brian Harman.
Oh, my gosh.
And Brooks Koepka is the one player that will rip you apart for your pace of play.
Yes.
It was what triggered the whole Bryson thing.
We're going to have to start stroking, guys.
We're going to have to start stroking, guys. And Brian Harman is, I think that man solely plays to break the waggle record.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking 16 to 20 waggles per stroke. I think Brooks Koepka might fire a 78 out of pure frustration.
I'm usually always cheering for the fellow lefty golfers, and I cheer
but
against
it's hard.
Brian Harman.
It's so hard.
I only have Phil to cheer for, and he's hard to cheer for.
Agreed.
All the lefties, Bubba, but he's kind of a doucher there too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Why are the lefties?
And he's falling off
the
so
here?
Heavily.
Are we douches?
I don't think we are, but I'm starting to wonder.
We might be.
That's two things I'd like to see. My third thing that I'd like to see.
Rory.
Eh.
Career Grand Slam.
I don't care that much about that as other people do because I'm not that big of a Rory fan. I'd be happy for him. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I like Rory, but I'm not big Rory guy. I didn't really like how Rory backtracked on his comments about the LIV. He was so full send about it, and then he was kind of like,
I
take it back.
Rahm was the same way.
No,
he joined him.
No, yeah. Rahm took the money and ran. But he was not near as vocal as Rory was.
He literally had a press conference where he said, those guys are just taking a bunch of money. I play the game for the love of it and trying to compete against the best every single day. And then a year later.
And then they were like, we'll give you $300 million instead of $100 million.
Sold.
Done.
Sold. So Scotty's heavy favorite here, plus 400. Next closest is Rory at plus 1,000.
And is that not...
Scotty going to win this
year? Is that not a little bit misplaced?
We haven't seen these kind of odds since Prime Tiger.
Is that not a little bit misplaced on Rory?
I think Rory should not be the second favorite.
He hasn't been playing good,
and he never plays Augusta well.
Correct.
It's in his head at this point. He hasn't won a major in 10 years.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
When's the last time the man won a tournament?
He's won tournaments.
But I mean, like...
He won the Players a few years ago.
That's what I'm saying. Has it been multiple years, though?
I can let you know here in about 2.5.
But yeah, Scotty is now up to plus 400. I think when we made a video, had a video come out about it on five guys, five or six. I think I threw like an honorable mention in there of guys that we like to win. And the video that I had Victor Hovland, which we already kind of discussed. We didn't love that one.
Nope.
But the reason why he was in there is because he was 35-1. Then we had the obvious guys, right? So we had... Scotty Scheffler at plus 450. We put Brooks in there, who at the time was plus 2,000. I think now he's about 1,600. And then I put Xander Schauffele in there because I think he's ready to break through at around plus 1,400, I think it was. Mm-hmm. 1,600 and maybe at the time of the video. Joaquin Niemann, been playing very well over there on the LIV Tour. He was my honorable mention at plus 2,800. Then I had Wyndham Clark, your 2023 U.S. Open winner. And the man who has been the closest to Scotty Scheffler as of late, I put him in there. And I think that's it. I think I had three. It was, am I missing a big dog? It was Brooks. No, it was Brooks, Clark, and Scheffler were the three I put under the big dog category.
The last time Rory won a PGA event, he's won a couple like European events
right.
last year. Last time was 2022 August, the Tour Championship.
Oh, wow.
So, big one.
Yeah, that was a big one. I remember that now. Yeah.
Won $18
million. Woo! Forget your Masters. Jeez. I'll never play golf again. You give me $18 million right now?
No.
I'll never pick up another club.
For $18
million? For $18
million. What about a million?
Nah, I'll pass.
Two.
Pass.
$4.5 million.
I'll take it.
$4.2 million. Is $4 million the number?
I'll draw it at $4
million. $3.9 million.
I'll take it. Yeah, so give me, how about this? Give me your pick to win it. We'll do it this way before we wrap up. Well, give me your pick to win it, a big name that you think will miss the cut, and an under-the-radar pick. I mean under-the-radar. I don't mean like...
So plus 35 and up?
I don't know that we have to set a number necessarily. Like
I mean, there's under-the-radar falls at a certain point, plus 4,000. Like Matthew Fitzpatrick plus 3,500.
I'll put it to you this way. Wyndham Clark is plus 4,000, so... I don't know if we need to set a number because I wouldn't really call him under the radar.
I think it's hard to pick against Scotty in the way he's been playing recently.
Okay.
I'm going to take him to win it. What was the other one? A good player to miss a cut?
Yep.
Max Homa.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to play well on the East Coast, does he?
Yeah.
He's a West Coast golfer.
He's a California guy. Give me Max Homa to miss the cut. And give me under the radar.
I got a good one for that.
Sam Burns.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Plus 7,000.
Had a person comment that on our video, actually, saying don't sleep on him on the value. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say I think Scotty Scheffler is going to win the tournament, but I'm going to pick someone else. You pick Scotty, I'm going to be different.
Okay.
I'm going to go Xander.
Yep.
I think it's time.
Can't get over the hump.
It's time. I think he has what it takes to finally get it done. Give me Shoffley. I'm pulling for him. Someone big that I think will miss the cut. I'm going to go Justin Thomas. Unfortunately.
That could easily happen.
Could easily happen. I hope that does not happen because I like JT and I want him to be in the mix. But I think that's going to be my name to miss the cut.
Yeah.
And then as far as an under the radar guy, I'm going to go at plus 6,000. Same odds as Homa. I'm going to go... Shane Lowry. Ooh. Shane Lowry. I've been seeing a lot of good golf from Mr. Shane Lowry lately. And you know what you need?
Plus 4,500.
Oh, really? Well.
And Brooks at plus 12 now.
Ooh. Brooks has made a jump. Mm-hmm. What are you looking on?
Caesars.
Okay. I'm on DraftKings right here. I think Shane Lowry, I saw something that said something that's very important is your spin on and around the greens. Mm-hmm. And he is ranked third so far this year in spin rate on the PGA Tour.
So you, like he's got the highest spin rate or?
Yeah.
What's the number there?
I don't know. I don't know anything about numerical values of spin rates.
But you want to be able to control the spin.
Correct. I think that's what it is. I think it's like, who's been the best at it?
Okay.
Like when the ball is spinning, like I guess how close are they getting it maybe?
So just distance to the hole.
Maybe. I'm not exactly sure how they calculate it, but I know that he's ranked third in that category.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Shane Lowry.
I don't hate him.
I mean, he's plus 6,000.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying this guy's going to win the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is, under the radar pick.
There's a reason Scotty Scheffler's plus 450, and if exactly. You watch that man swing a club in the last month, then I don't really know how you could pick against him.
I literally was watching the practice round today on ESPN. And he was on 13, about 220 out, and I saw him hit one shot to about 4 feet, and I immediately put my money on him.
Yeah, I mean, if you just watch him swing at all lately,
yeah,
you can. It's pretty easy. Oh yeah, that's the best guy. How about this? We'll finish it up.
Wrap it up.
This question for you on the way out.
All right.
What will the winning score be? Last year, the winning score was 12 under.
Yeah. We're going to have good weather. It's going to be a little nasty Thursday morning.
Right.
But other than that, by Thursday afternoon and on into the weekend, going to be 80 degrees and sunny.
I've heard the players saying it's tough.
Yeah. I like 14.
14?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go 11. I don't think we get to what we did last year. I'm going to go 11 under. Guys are saying it's tough. I'm gonna go with the pro golfers.
It was playing tough last year. There were some rain issues. Yeah,
12 and 11 are close.
I like 14.
Okay. I hope you're right. I'd rather see it go lower. More birdies. All right. That's another one in the books. This is going to be an incredibly fun week and weekend. The Masters 2024, UFC 300. I'm not sure if you can beat a weekend of sports that is during the offseason of football and maybe all around altogether in sports. So make sure you get your bets in for UFC 300. We're going to be putting out some posts for our favorite picks other than the ones we set on here. Maybe build a little parlay for you guys for UFC 300. And our Masters picks are out. That's a video right now on our social media. So we will be back at you next week to recap these events. And for now, Sub-Zero Sports, we're out.